I was asked to give some history or background of how the organization got started. And so the first thing I did was I went to talk to Dean Cook. He lives in Centerville, and he was the president when I got into the organization, got involved in 1975. So I figured he'd at least have some of the background of it. And so I talked with him, and so much of what I start off with here, it's things that he told me. For many years, back in the early 1900s, the P.W. Cook Family Organization was very strong. There was a large organization. They did a lot of things. They had a lot of reunions, a lot of them up in Bear Lake, on the homestead there, on the east, or on the west side of Bear Lake, up in northern Utah. And a lot of those reunions lasted 3 or 4 days. So you know that they were enjoying themselves in something like that. The organization had been very strong for several years, and then all of a sudden, for no explanation seemingly, it just dissolved in about 1932 and didn't pick up again. In fact, it was from 1932 to 1968, that's about 35, 36 years, there was no organization. About that time, when I found out that information, I got curious and I wanted to know why. Nobody seemed to have an answer why. And so I started looking into some of the history and background to see if I could find something. And I've stumbled onto something, and it's kind of a far stretch, but I'm going to give it to you anyway and see if it might be something that you would think would have caused this. Four of Annalisa Howland's children died in 1933. And I will lead up to that. I'm going to talk of the deaths between 1931 and 1934. And this is all of them that I found, except I did pick two grandchildren, but no more than that on the later lines. But of the family, of this family, that was all there was during that period of time. In 1931, Joseph Wilcock Cook, the son of Catherine McCleave and Phineas, died in February, and he was 76 years old. In 1932, David Savage Cook Jr., a grandson of Polly Amanda Savage and Phineas, died at age 48. And I'll skip down to after 33 and I'll come back to that. In 1951, I'm sorry. Alfonso Cook, was a child. Kim Phineas Cook, the son of Johanna and Phineas, died in October of 1934 at 52 years of age. Alfonso died at 25 years of age in 1933, and I don't have any more date than that. He was killed in a car accident. Now, in those years, except for 1933, that was all the persons that I found dying at that time. But in 1933, four of Annalisa Howland and Phineas's children died during that year. Henry Howland Cook, the 12th child, died in March at 74 years of age. Alonzo Howland Cook, the 10th child, died in June at 78. Harriet Bessie Teeples, the 3rd child, and William Cook, the 14th child, both died on 31 October 1933. Harriet was, say, 89, and William was 71. Now, for four of them to die, and that it was the last four living children of Ann Eliza Holland and Phineas, four of them died during that same year. I don't know, but it seems like maybe that had something to do with that dropping it at that time. Why they didn't get it started again for many years, that part I don't know. But it was 36 years before it really started to take off again. Dean Cook told me that during the year of 1968, he'd been thinking about reviving the organization again, and had thought about it for some time. And each time he'd think about it, he'd get a little more concerned about it. And so, well, it appears really, and what I'm finding out is that several of the children, the grandchildren, were becoming interested and concerned that they didn't have a family organization and feeling that it was needed. And during the first week of January 1969, Dean had gone to a session at the Logan Temple. And after the session, he went into the celestial room and was meditating, trying to figure out what they could do to get this revived and get it started again. And after he'd been there a few minutes, he noticed a cousin come in, Bryson Cook. And so he went over and talked to him for a few minutes, and pretty quickly the conversation turned to, okay, how do we get the family organization revived again and get it going? After they had talked over this for a little while, they both parted thinking, all right, now's the time. We got to get started. Let's get busy and get it done, and soon. Just 2 weeks later, and this was on the 20th of January, Dean received a letter from Owen Cook, dated January 14th, 1969. And Owen Cook at that time was the president of the Church College of Hawaii. The letter starts out this way. Dear Brother Cook, many descendants of Phineas Wilcock Cook have been talking about a family organization to speed up genealogical research and save duplication of effort. Vera Hunsaker, a tireless genealogist, recently called my attention to the Pendleton family organization in Salt Lake City. And then she proceeds to mention some of the things that this particular organization had accomplished, which were really extensive. Then Vera says, one of the big reasons for a family organization is to avoid duplication of work. They say one third of all sheets submitted are duplicates. Any also organized effort makes genealogical research move faster. The letter also mentions a number of family members in the Utah and Idaho area that were doing genealogical research. Well, this was the trigger that Dean needed. And so about the middle of February of 1969, Dean picked up Vera Hunsaker in North Salt Lake. Vera Hunsaker was his cousin, but she was also the sister of Owen Cook, who sent him the letter from Hawaii. Picked her up in North Salt Lake, and Pearl Day, who was my mother, picked her up in Salt Lake. And they drove then to Hiram, Utah, and picked up Rex D. Cook, and the four of them went on to Logan, to the home of Maud Cook Kilburn, where they met with her and her daughter, Joan Kilburn Kane. Now, the interesting thing about these six individuals is that there was a descendant there from each of the four wives among those six individuals. He didn't tell me how long that they were in meeting, and I didn't think to ask him, but they were there long enough to set up the plans for a basic organization, make a list of suggestions of officers and committees that needed to be in it, and some dates to start a formal organization. In 1969, a copy of Phineas's history from his birth to 1857, which was after he'd come to the valley here sometime, along with a letter announcing the plans to reestablish the P.W. Cook family organization, was sent out to all of the people, or all of the members, for which they had addresses. The statement of organization goals sent out was with this statement: "The family organization has been formed with the common purpose of creating identity, unity, and friendship among us, the living descendants, and of identifying ancestors of Phineas and each of his wives through our united effort." The two officers that started out with the organization, Owen Cook was the president and Dean Cook was vice president. Then in 1970, Osmond Cook took over as the president. By 1971, the organization was fully organized and officially incorporated in the state of Utah. And the organization was starting to get many accomplishments by that time. 1972, Dean Cook took over as president. And that's as far as I'll go in the organization at that point. We've had many good leaders in the organization over the years. I have some tender feelings with those that I've had the privilege of working with, because there's a lot of people who really have loved this organization and have really worked hard to keep it going and make it something of value to the family. We really appreciate their service. Since that time, there's been many organizational changes. Some of those are changes in titles as to the duties that are performed, and change because of change of duties, and also of the different areas of emphasis that we have picked up along the line. The organization today is as follows. We have a president, a vice president of family units, a vice president of genealogy, a vice president of technology and communications, an executive secretary, treasurer, parliamentarian and historian, and a governing board of directors consisting of two directors from each of the Phineas's families. And these directors are the only ones in the organization that have voting power. There are other positions that are defined mainly by the work that is being done. There's a genealogist and assistants, an archivist, newsletter editor, mail list manager, store manager, and website host and manager. Last but not least are the family representatives. And this is a little different situation because we don't have these in all of the families, and I'll explain why. When one of the families gets so large that they can't take care, that the two directors can't handle all of the business for that particular family, then we have allowed them to pick some representatives then that can pick up the work of contact and following up on addresses and all the different things that need to be handled that way to be representatives for the family. And these representatives do not have voting power. Again, only the directors for each of the four families are the only ones that have the voting power. And this maintains the decision-making power equal in all four families. The Fallon family, which has approximately 83% of the total membership or total descendants of Phineas Wilcock family, have assigned two representatives for each of the children who had posterity. Now, Anna Eliza Howland had 16 children, but nine of them died as infants or in early youth, or even some at birth. So there's only seven of those that had posterity, but they were quite prolific. In 2002, the organization completed descending pedigree books which I have here. There's two books here. And in those, as of 2002, we have approximately 16,000 descendants of Phineas, and including the direct descendants and their spouses. That's a lot of individuals to keep track of. If you make a geometric extension, that indicates in 2013 that we have approximately 20,500 descendants, including spouses. Now, not all of those are living, because this is covering clear back from Phineas, which goes, I think he got married in, what was it, about 1980. Okay, anyway, that's a lot of descendants to work from. If you figure that 50 to 60% of those are still living, which is a reasonable, and there's probably even more, that comes out to about 10 to 12,000 living members of the Phineas Wilcott family. We're planning to update these books in the next couple of years, and I think it's going to come up to quite a few more. We're going to be quite surprised at the number at that point in time. With this number of descendants, we need to expand our work as a family organization to include everyone possible within that group. We sent out 963 postal letters last month, and we had about 600 to 700 email addresses that the letters went out to. But we're not catching maybe only half of the families that we should be catching. And so we need to extend our reach to bring in all of the families. There will be a few who won't want to be involved. That's okay. But most of them will still want newsletters. They'll want to be involved at least partially, let me put it that way. And more will be involved in participating in events, and also personal participation as well as financial participation. We do need financial participation because we, for instance, one of the items that we're looking at right now and started to do is we need to make the Phineas Wilcott-Cook connection back in England to the Henry Cook line there. We're having trouble finding the right Henry Cook. There's too many of them back there. So we need finances to when you start doing this kind of research, you need more finances to accomplish that. We probably have some young people who would like to go on missions, but may not have the finances to do so. With an organization of our size and the number of people, you're talking 10 to 12,000 people, surely we shouldn't have a problem getting enough money to fund one or two missionaries and keep them in the mission field if that becomes necessary. The possibilities of our organization and the things that we can do and accomplish are really endless. And if we do the Lord's work, we receive the Lord's blessings. To this I bear witness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.